Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
And a very good morning to you on this Thursday, the 17th of December. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, thousands of South Africans take to the streets to demand the resignation of President Jacob Zuma.
Zuma must go because of his ill policies, because of his indecision, because of corruption.
And a novel way to fight corruption in Liberia. Take to the airwaves on reality television.
We want to try more to name and fame people and then just try to do something that positively reinforces good behavior in the country and then change the discussion in the country from just talking about corrupt people to talking about more good people.
Stay tuned to this edition of Africa Link.
Top story.
In South Africa, thousands have taken to the streets in different parts of the country to join protests demanding the resignation of President Jacob Zuma. The rallies were organised through the social media hashtag Zuma Must Fall, a backlash against his recent reshuffle blunders in the finance ministry, which sent the rand and the stock exchange tumbling. Late Tuesday, the ratings agency Moody's downgraded its outlook on South Africa from stable to negative. Tuzo Kamalo has this report on Wednesday's marches.
South Africans came out in record numbers, meeting in Johannesburg, Pretoria, Cape Town and Port Elizabeth. The gatherings were organised online under the Twitter hashtag Zuma Must Fall. Their message was loud and clear. They want President Jacob Zuma to step down after a cabinet reshuffle debacle that cost the nation billions of dollars. In 1 week, President Zuma sacked his finance minister Nhlanhla Nene, replacing him with legally known David Van Rooyen. 4 days later, bowing down to public pressure, Zuma replaced Van Rooyen with veteran finance minister Pravin Gordhan. One of the protest organizers, Godfrey Piri, from the organization Unite Against Corruption, said, to save South Africa from an economic recession, Zuma must be booted out of the political stage.
If we are to remain silent, which means we are creating another Zimbabwe, we have seen a lot of refugees and migrants coming to this country because of bad governance in their countries of origin. So we should just stop this.
President Zuma's repeated irrational decisions cost South Africa over $11 billion. That sent the national currency, the rand, tumbling down to a record four-year low, causing a major panic at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and battered the country's image internationally. The call for Zuma and his cronies to step down is not limited to South Africans anymore. Other nationalities working and paying taxes in the country have also joined the campaign. Farai Gudmo Mudzembwe is a Zimbabwean immigrant based in Johannesburg.
Zuma must go because of his ill policies, because of his indecision, because of corruption. He has presided over a corrupt government. He has promoted corruption himself.
Opposition parties are also weighing in on the debate. Musiwale Koda is the president of a minority party, the Congress of the People.
We are satisfied about the fact that there's corruption and that the ANC has been the major source of corruption in our society. And that's why we are saying the ANC and Zuma must go.
In Johannesburg, young teenagers were also part of the call calling for Zuma's resignation. However, the governing African National Congress ANC party does not believe Zuma should leave over his appointment debacle. In his political career, President Zuma has survived rape charges, corruption charges, an impeachment attempt, and motions of no confidence.
Tuzo Kamalo, and as we heard in that report, the ANC remains defiant, saying Jacob Zuma should stay in office. I've been talking to independent political analyst Ralph Matega in Johannesburg. Following Wednesday's protests, how did he see the future unfolding for both Zuma and the ANC?
The call for Zuma to go is an attempt to actually isolate him from the ANC and to make sure that the blunders are attributed to him personally. And the ANC, on the other hand, as you correctly say, they have come forth in his defense yesterday in a press conference, effectively owning up to his blunders, saying that what he has done is a part of a product of collective decision making. And this therefore means that the ANC is the one that is going to end up being punished instead of allowing for the problem to be attributed to Zuma, the person. It is going to be quite costly for the ANC. Of course, the march might not be sufficient to have Zuma resign, but I think that by defending Zuma, the ANC is actually putting itself in the corner and they are risking their reputation because of the decisions that have been taken by Zuma.
But presumably there is dissatisfaction with President Zuma within the ANC. How far does that dissatisfaction reach into the party?
Certainly, there are those dissatisfaction within the party. There are those who, if they could, they would stage a mutiny against him. It is quite deep, but I don't think it is sufficient to actually result in a successful mutiny against him. And I think it is important to note that as much as he is making blunders in government, Zuma still remains in charge and he still commands the party structures, particularly the influential NEC, National Executive Committee of the ANC. He actually manages to run that or to influence the direction that the party goes by way of controlling the strong faction within the ANC.
How important will the municipal elections in 2016, next year, be in determining President Zuma's future?
I think that the ANC could be punished in key metropolitan municipalities such as the city of Johannesburg, which is the biggest municipality, perhaps the richest municipality on the continent, the city of Tshwane, otherwise known as Pretoria. It's another key area where we could see the ANC's power being tested. There is also an interesting municipality, the Nelson Mandela Bay in the Eastern Cape. Those are the three municipalities where it is expected that the ANC might suffer dramatically.
Independent political analyst Ralph Matega.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Today, Rwandans living in the diaspora will be able to vote in a referendum on an amendment to their country's constitution. If approved, the amendment would enable veteran leader Paul Kagame to stay in power until 2034. The United States and the European Union have warned that the move undermines democratic principles. Rwandans back home in Rwanda vote on the measure on Friday, and the government has been busy rallying its supporters. This report by Jesko Johansson has been adapted for Africa Link by Jane Ayeko.
In the capital, Kigali, hundreds of people have gathered at a schoolyard for a sensitization rally on the referendum. Speeches are held and posters written on Vote Yes are hanging all over. Zeno Mutimura, a member of parliament from the ruling party RPF, says whoever votes with a yes wants Rwanda's president Paul Kagame to stay in power after 2017.
So the people requested that this one is reviewed so the president has a chance for presenting himself if he accepts for election in 2017.
The international community has criticized the constitutional amendment. In Rwanda, there is little space for opposition to the constitutional amendment. There has been no prior sensitization or discussion about it. Journalist Gonza Muganwa says the referendum is not a real political decision of the people.
It's not a reflection of competitive politics. But the good thing is that they're actually also saying it, that this is not a competitive thing because there are no opposing sides. The political scene is dominated totally by the ruling party and their allies.
Democratic Party, the only opposition party in the country, filed a petition in the Supreme Court against the referendum. The party's Secretary General, Karina Mayombi, says they were not successful.
We wanted to hold campaign rallies, so we went to the Electoral Commission to inquire. Unfortunately, they told us not to do so, but we were only allowed to sensitize people.
Mayombi adds that people were simply forced to sign a petition without knowing what they were signing for. The minority voices are silenced. For fear of their lives, they prefer to remain anonymous.
We do not dare to say anything because then our lives are in danger. Some people have ended up in prison. Others are being pursued or have disappeared.
The president had said that he will only compete for two terms, so the third term shouldn't be there. I'm not going to vote because I do not want what is being done. The whole vote is a lie.
Kagame himself has not yet taken a decision if he would compete again.
That report was written by Jesko Johansson. According to a survey in sub-Saharan Africa by the anti-corruption watchdog Transparency International, more than a fifth of all Africans who had contact with public services last year admitted to paying a bribe. In Liberia, the figure was much higher, just over two-thirds. Liberia clearly has a corruption problem, and a Liberian NGO has come up with a novel scheme to help fight it. It's a reality show on Liberian radio and television called Integrity Idol, and it puts the spotlight on honest civil servants. From Monrovia, Daniel Niokonya reports.
We are super excited at the Accountability Lab to have all of you. Please feel welcome.
Lawrence Yelu is one of the organizers of Integrity Idol. He told me about the show's intentions.
We want to try more to name and fame people and then just try to do something that positively reinforces good behavior in the country and then change the discussion in the country from just talking about corrupt people to talking about more good people. In that way, then we can start to build, even replicable good people.
After a two-week voting period in which members of the public nominated their personal favorites, five finalists were selected. The five civil servants were filmed at their workplaces and 20-minute videos were screened on national television. They could also be heard on national and community radio stations at prime time. But what exactly were the judges looking for? Here's Lawrence Yelu again.
We're looking for honesty. The thing about integrity is do it when nobody's seeing you. Doing your work with honesty, doing your work sincerely, and nobody's watching, but basically practicing what you preach.
Evidence of community work and involvement was also required. The winner was Nurse Jugbe Tafla Kekula from the government hospital from Grand Bassa. She is now officially Liberia's most earnest civil servant and Integrity Idol. She had this message.
So the only thing I have to tell the people out there is everything you are doing on this earth, do it with honesty, do it with love, do it with sincerity. And if you do everything to the best and to the fullest, with your whole self involved into it, you will be one day awarded what I've received today.
Mark Nelson was among the audience.
We need to get more people involved for the issue of fighting corruption, the issue of integrity.
This is a good signal out there to the rest of the world that indeed in Liberia, as much as we have bad people, there also are good people within our communities.
And that report was compiled by Daniel Niokonya. Next, crime fighters.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, and welcome to the seventh episode of our series, Crime Fighters, The Radical Journey. The situation in Kululaland is becoming tenser by the day. No one knows why Zora Kassim carried out a bombing attack a few weeks ago in the Domingo shopping mall. Her father, Honorable Kassim, is now heavily implicated. The young officers on the case, Inspectors Brenda and Jude, feel they are getting closer to the answer. But they've decided to come clean with the police commissioner on something they had hidden from him. This episode is called My Story.
You're telling me Jude had a relationship with Zora, the suicide bomber?
You do realize you should have been a suspect all along?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, sir. I'm very sorry that I didn't tell you before. But I really wanted to work on the case. I thought I could help.
It's too late for apologies, Jude. Just don't bother. Who is this Cecilia again?
Jude went to high school with her, the same as Bobo. She wasn't able to go to university. Her family couldn't afford it.
I see. You have acted in a very unprofessional way, Jude. I ought to put you in front of a disciplinary committee.
Please, sir. Just give me another chance. I promise I won't disappoint you. I know I can help crack this case.
I have a meeting in the next few minutes. All right, I'll overlook it. But only because you are Internet Cafe Tipo for successful. Be very careful. I won't be as generous next time.
Phew. I wasn't sure how he was going to react. Jude, are you okay? Aren't you relieved we've told him?
Yes, but Brenda, I know I'm about to crack something. I need him to trust me enough to keep me on the case.
Are you hiding something else? Jude, spit it out. We need to be absolutely open with each other about this.
I know. Don't worry. It'll all be clear by this evening. Cecilia sent me a text asking me to go and see her. I have a feeling she's been hiding something and wants to come clean.
Does Cecilia know you're a policeman?
No, not yet. But I'm planning to tell her this evening. Cece is a friend. She won't betray me.
Cece? Jude, I really hope you know what you're doing. You have to let us help you.
It's okay, Brenda. I know exactly what I'm doing.
Hello, Patrick.
Madam Lado, I told you not to come here. You should have just sent the money through a middleman.
I've already given you plenty of money. Enough to follow my husband and find out what he's up to. And you've never given me any feedback.
I told you. There were a lot of things I had to confirm before I could say anything for certain.
I understand. But please, just tell me. Is my husband involved with a terrorist group? Did he have anything to do with our daughter's death?
Not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Madam Lado, your husband had nothing to do with your daughter's death, but some of his dealings may indirectly have helped the terrorists.
Tell me. I was told you are the best at digging up this kind of thing. That's why I came to you.
Madam Lado, these are the documents and evidence I've found. They include some recorded conversations between your husband and some other politicians.
Let me have them.
Not so fast, madam. Do you have my final payment?
Here you are. It's all there as requested.
All right then. Here are the documents. Remember, we never met. Good luck to you, Madam Lado.
Brenda, Jude, before you finish for the day, I just want to bring you up to speed about the meeting I attended earlier.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, sir.
There have been far more terrorist attacks in the past few months than we've ever had before in the Takoka region.
The worst was the attack on the university. The highest number of casualties ever.
Exactly. It still sends chills down my spine to think of it.
I had to explain to the Inspector General of Police how we got to Bobo, Jude's former classmate. You're in luck, Jude. He thought your going undercover was a brilliant move. So we are planning to launch a number of undercover operations, starting in the youth hangouts. Police officers will be sent into schools to try and prevent further attacks.
What about the regional assembly? They're debating introducing a capital punishment law for terrorism offenses.
Let's leave the politicians to their own devices for now. The police will be holding a session of their own to go through all the various terror investigations and consolidate their findings.
And we are gathering more and more evidence about Scambo the Warlord and clues to his whereabouts. So it shouldn't be too long before we can finally arrest him.
Precisely. But we're not just going to arrest him. We are also putting machinery in place that will make things very difficult for others like him.
How, sir?
We are creating a special unit to tackle terrorism. The personnel will be given advanced training in dealing with these issues. We've never had anything like this before. But the key thing about this unit is that they won't be regular police officers. They'll work completely undercover and mingle with young people. No one will be able to identify them. They'll make sure the force is constantly kept informed.
Cecilia? Cecilia, is that you? What's wrong?
Jude?
What's up? Have you been crying?
No. I mean, Jude, I'm so sorry.
What for? You haven't done anything to me, but you're really scaring me right now.
I'm so sorry for the way I behaved the last time. I have so much on my mind I really need to tell you.
Tell me what? What made you change your mind about talking to me?
I'm just so tired. Tired of all the deceit. After what you said, I started to realize you're right. It was all just brainwashing.
What is it, Cecilia? Come on, you can tell me anything. You know I'm your friend.
It's about Zora. I feel so guilty.
What about Zora? Why would you feel guilty?
Oh, Jude, the way you talked about her last time, you asked me what I was doing with the warlord, remember? Well, I came to him voluntarily.
What? Why?
I heard from a friend of a friend that they were looking for young women. I was curious. I wanted to do something with my time, so I volunteered. And before long, Scambo and I were together.
So what's changed, Cecilia? Aren't you happy anymore?
No, I'm not. Let's just say our last conversation made me think a lot.
But why would you feel guilty about Zora?
I didn't even know you two knew each other. I was so jealous of her. She had everything I didn't. Beauty, brains, everything. And now she's gone. And I didn't do anything to stop it.
How did you meet her?
Scambo has this kind of gift for discovering people. He found her on the Friends Connect website. He's very smart, you know.
Scambo? Really?
Oh, yeah. They used to chat for hours online. I was so jealous. His face would light up whenever he was online with her. It was clear they were in love.
What? You're kidding me. Okay. Well, since it seems to be confession time, I have a few things I need to explain to you two. I hope you won't hate me for this.
What a surprising revelation from Cecilia. Could Zora and the warlord really have been in love? Jude's about to reveal the truth to Cecilia and tell her that he's a policeman. How will she respond? Join us again next time for the final episode when all will be revealed. If you want to listen to this one again, check out our website, dw.com/crimefighters. And we look forward to your comments on our Facebook page. Until next time, take care.
A reminder of our main stories. Thousands of South Africans have taken to the streets to demand the resignation of President Jacob Zuma. Rwandans in the diaspora can vote today on a constitutional amendment that would allow President Paul Kagame to stay in power until 2034. And we've been hearing about a Liberian NGO which is using reality television to fight corruption. Remember, we welcome your comments on this programme, either in an SMS to country code 49 160 957 595 10, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Do join us again tomorrow. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.